This is session. Can you hear me? Is this on?
Okay.
Hi. My name is Debbie Leverton. Is that working? Okay. And I am an ICSC stewardship consultant, so I work with Michael Murphy on this conference for the last several months. I previously was with the Diocese of Orange in California for 19 years as a director of stewardship, so I love being able to continue to work with the communities across the country. So today, this is a push pay session, and hold on a second. I just dropped myself out. This is session number 34, Case Studies in Catholic Giving and Community Engagement with Sarah Anderson. Before we get started, let's start with our conference prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Sarah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm excited to hear about what Push Pay has to offer as well.
All right.
So I'm going to turn it over to Sarah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. They tell me that they can hear me. Can you all hear me if I just speak with a loud voice, or do I need to be like this? Like this? Oh boy. Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. Then we're going to do it the other way. How about this? How about this? Yeah. Is that okay? I'll hold the mic. All right. So hope you all got your raffle ticket. We are here to learn about stories of impact, case studies in Catholic giving and community engagement. And as a little icebreaker, I wanted to start with why do you guys think people tell stories? So we're here to listen to some stories, but why do people tell stories? Anybody want to shout out an answer? Relate, yeah?
Inspire.
Anybody else got an answer? To relate, perfect. I love it. So for millennia, for centuries, humans, we have been telling stories, right? First to survive. Right? Don't eat that. You might die. Then to pass on knowledge. And, you know, now eventually we tell stories for entertainment too, right? Perhaps maybe the greatest example of a story is the Bible. There's a lot of stories in the Bible. And I do think one of my favorite reasons to tell stories, so I work in product management. We tell stories. We hear stories all the time. And one of my favorite reasons to tell stories is to connect. To spark a connection, to learn something about somebody else, to relate with them. And share a common thread that we can weave into each other's lives. And so today I want to share a few stories. Some are mine, some are other stories that I have the privilege of sharing with you all. And my hope is that maybe one of these will spark a connection, inspire you to take something back with you, and you can weave that into your life and your mission. So there you go. That's what I wanted to open with today. And I think it's only fitting to share that Push Pay believes, so just like I really believe and think that stories are a way to make a connection, we believe that our technology at Push Pay enables connection. It drives connection. And so I think that's just a really beautiful tie between our topic that we're here to talk about and the company that I work for. So I'll spend some time weaving in, you see on the slide, about consolidated data, walking alongside your parishioners, and I'll weave that into some of these stories throughout the day. But similar to how you guys work really, really hard alongside your parishioners to engage and connect with your community, we think that our technology can help you do that. And so I'll share a little bit about that today. All right, let's dive in. So just a little bit about who I am. So I am Sarah Anderson. I am a mom of four and an active parishioner around three dioceses. two mainly, but sometimes three. So similar to some of your parishioners likely, I'm not always at my home church every weekend. And you'll hear that. That's hang on to that point, because you'll hear that a little bit through some of these stories later today. Professionally, I left a company I'd been at for 16 years. I have a degree in engineering. And I left that company with a desire to grow my expertise in product and someday find the opportunity where I could combine my faith and my love for technology. So I left that company. I told my husband, I said, someday I want to be a Catholic product manager. That's what I said. And the goal was like 10 years. Like, I wanted to go learn more about product management, get some experience in some other SaaS companies, and then someday, like maybe when the kids were older, I would go find a Catholic tech company to go work at. And you guys all know what happens when we make plans for God, right? Like, he just laughs at us. And that's what happened. So I left this company, went to another company, worked there for 3 months, and right in front of me, sitting right in front of me, was this opportunity to come work at PushPay and help build out Parish Stack. And so I was at that job for 3 months. God was like, no, right now you're going to leave and you're going to go take this leap and go be a Catholic product manager. And so that's a little bit about who I am, a little bit about my story. And what I started to do at PushPay was I started to build out our sacraments. So PushPay has been around for a long time in the church community. It started out more in the Protestant evangelical space, and to help support the Catholic market, we knew we needed to build out sacraments. And so that's what I was hired to do, was to help build that out. And so from there, I moved into working into a diocese solution, and now I'm a director of product at PushPay, and I support our Parish Stack product. So a little bit more about my story tied to the Archdiocese of Seattle. I want to share a little bit about our story together. So the story starts with PushPay and Archdiocese of Seattle with me through a commitment to be good partners, through a commitment to create this diocesan solution that was an entire ecosystem that was connected all together. So like I said, I participate all over my diocese, sometimes in more than one diocese. And so it's likely I exist in somebody's database multiple times if I've given at that church in a digital format or participated through ministry or volunteered. And the vision that the Archdiocese of Seattle and PushPay had together was to create this single ecosystem where there was just one record of a person, where who works like at a parish and has to send information in to keep like the diocese database updated. Come on, you, like, it's okay, you don't have to be ashamed. The vision was that they wouldn't have to do that anymore at the Archdiocese of Seattle. And so we were able to create this ecosystem that allowed for everybody to coexist together, but also for the parishes to independently manage and still lead their own ministry and mission in their area. And so that was a big part of my journey here at PushPay. After we created this really solid foundation of Parish Stack, we moved into really how we could create a permission structure and a data structure to support the diocese in one big ecosystem. And so part of maybe some of the wins that I'll just share with you through that relationship is that, one, we were good partners. We agreed to work with each other and collaborate back and forth. And there's a few other dioceses in here I know that we've done that with. So thank you guys for being good partners. And the other thing is that we were both committed to helping drive change. So you guys that do campaigns and run stewardship, like, change management is hard. Like, driving a behavior change is really, really hard. And you have to be committed and work really hard at that. And that was something that we all agreed to, is that we would support each other in driving change. Okay? And when you adopt a new technology, that's absolutely part of it. Like, you can't just adopt the technology and expect that to be the magic wand. Okay? Like, we would love for it to be, but you have to have a plan. You have to participate with it. Kind of like you have to participate with the Holy Spirit. You got to participate with the technology to help it drive that change as well. Some of the other wins is they were able to consolidate that data. They don't have to send it in. You know, parishes don't have to send it in to keep it updated. They were able to get some operational efficiencies, reduce their number of tools, get data accuracy. One of the big things that the Diocesan Parish Stack solution does is that it provides the tools of standardization and templating. So you can create kind of that campaign flow through workflows. You can create communication templates that you can have each parish send out. You can create forms that help drive Vacation Bible School or your back to school event. And those best practices can be shared across the diocese and through parishes to drive that engagement and efficiency in operations. One is the Archdiocese of Seattle, similar probably to some of you, because I know it's happening around the United States, is going through a period of consolidation and growth in some areas, right? So some areas are growing, some areas are consolidating, and that's really hard. Like, that change is hard, right? Not only do you as a parishioner, maybe you're losing your parish, or maybe you're losing your mass time, and that's a really hard change. But to add on top of that, you need to uninstall that app you were using and reinstall a new app and fill out these papers again. On top of the change that's already really hurtful for the heart, changing technology doesn't need to be a part of that. And the Archdiocese of Seattle, they're already in the same system on the same technology. And so really all they have to do is redraw those digital boundaries, right? And so from a technology standpoint, that consolidation and growth is actually really seamless for them. And then the last thing that I think is really important to note is that as the Archdiocese of Seattle has adopted that diocesan solution for parish SAC, they really truly do know their community members from their sacraments all the way through their adulthood into their generosity. Okay? And so that's a really beautiful picture to be able to watch somebody grow up, right, on that single record and for them to truly be known. We know that in order to connect with people, to inspire them, you have to find that common thread. And through ParishStack, and you'll see some examples, really, really knowing and connecting with their community is possible through ParishStack. All right, so I told you I'd share some case studies. We're going to talk about St. Isidore, and we're going to talk about St. Michael's. Just some really quick context on both of these. You see St. Isidore is in green, and St. Michael's is in blue. St. Isidore has a giving case study, okay? So St. Isidore has adopted from PushPay our giving and donor management and app, okay? And St. Michael has adopted Parish Stack, which includes the giving and the app and our church management solution. So when we talk about the stack, we're talking about all three of those as one solution, okay? And one other just really quick thing. Both stories are presented by a Chris of some sort. There's some other people in the stories, but they both have a Chris. And so, if you're a Chris and you didn't make on the agenda, I'm sorry. Next year, the name is Jonathan. So Jonathan in the back, he's presenting next year. He maybe doesn't know it, but he is. So if you know a Jonathan, and they're looking for an opportunity to present, you know, sign him up. All right? Okay. Okay, so just a little bit of context about what just a way to help us all use the same words maybe, to think about the discipleship journey. Presence, giving, engagement, witness. It's in a beautiful straight line, but it's really not like that, right? I like to think of it as almost like this loop that just keeps getting closer and closer to a deeper connection to Christ. Okay? Because I think that first you have to be present, both mentally and physically, and then you want people to take that next step to participate in their generosity with a gift. But then you want them to act, right? You want them to be involved and volunteer, be engaged, connect with a community so that they can know Christ, so that they can be connected, so that they can be a witness, right? But then it repeats, because you have to still keep being present mentally and spiritually. And then you want to drive an even greater love of generosity, right? And it just keeps getting closer and closer to Christ the whole time. So just some context and setting. We're gonna focus in on giving and engagement of that discipleship journey. But I did just want to make sure that we level set on maybe the words that we talk about. And I'm gonna read my notes and make sure I don't forget anything really quick. Okay, I think I got all high points. All right, here we go. St. Isidore Church. Now I'm slightly nervous because somebody from St. Isidore is in the audience, so I hope I don't screw this up too bad. All right. quick introduction, say Isidore is, they're going to have to listen to themselves speak, so maybe that's worse. I don't know. St. Isidore is a Catholic parish. They're in Macomb Township. I think it's north of Detroit. They were founded in 1957. They're a pretty rural parish. Farming community, you guys all know who St. Isidore is, right? He's the patron saint of farmers. That makes sense. And they're known for their charitable work. And one of the things that they were looking to do is to be able to meet their people where they were at and drive that generosity so that they could continue being recognized for that. So let's listen to their story. Maybe. This worked before. Oh boy. Pause. Oh, no.
It might be time for one of those Chris's to stand up.
Yeah, no kidding. I know.
I will tell our story.
Here we go. I'm not on the internet. I'm not on the internet. That's why. Hold on.
Do you want me to step behind the hotspot, or do you have a hotspot? That's why I did it earlier. I didn't have a hotspot.
No, I got a hotspot. We got this. I got this.
How's everybody doing today?
My tech guy was supposed to do this for me, right? He did. He came in and made sure I used the microphone. I got this. It is. It's a hardware issue for sure. All right. Okay. Here we go. Ha! Huh? Yes. Okay. I work for a tech company. All right.
St. Isidore is a suburban church, suburban of Detroit. We've been around for 65 years. We're a large church. We have more than 3,000 families, almost 10,000 members. We have a lot of young people. We have a lot of old people. We have a good mix of demographic. Our goal at St. Isidore is to be a contemporary church. We're built on three pillars: connect, reach, build.
God's message hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The way we communicate has. And so there is no screen, there's no device that's more personal than the mobile phone. And so creating a mobile experience for parishioners is such an important part and needs to be at the top of our priority list. And so having a mobile app that has our church logo on it is such an important part of that, because there's a sense of trust when people can open an app that they feel is really their own, it's unique, it's personal, and it gets them into the church. One of the things that attracted our parishioners to use the app, and was very important, is to be able to access the readings that they hear at Mass, both the daily readings and the Sunday readings as well.
Stewardship statistics will tell you even people who go to church 52 weeks a year only go to their home parish 40 weeks. So getting people on a digital solution where they can set up a recurring gift, you already have that additional 20% because they're giving every single week or every single month. We know younger people like to give through digitally. They don't carry cash. They don't carry a checkbook. So having a digital solution that's already in their pocket with their phone is critical to the lifeblood of our future.
A huge part of church needs to be about innovation. We have to continue to rethink how we do things, because how people interact with each other is constantly changing. And so as the church, we can't ignore that. PushPay really helps us with that through the mobile app studio, through the app, and through all the digital tools. And so to be able to have that right and follow along with the readings on their phone was such an important part to our parishioners.
So as someone who helps to run the business operations of a Catholic church, I'm looking for professional partners to not only support the good that we want to do, but help drive us into different directions to expand what we can do, and even what we're thinking of. And having a partner like PushPay kind of makes it unlimited, some of the things that we can accomplish. I'm so thankful for the partnership because they've taken that piece of what we do and made it easy, made it fruitful, and it's just really worked out well as we try to progress our church for the future.
Beautiful. Thanks, Chris. All right, so a few things that I enjoyed in listening and watching along with that video with you guys is that they mentioned about the physically present, right? 40 out of 52 weeks where people are actually there. And so digital tools can help make sure that you get those 12 weeks of generosity from parishioners. As well as, you know, that doesn't, just because somebody isn't physically present. I talked at the beginning about how, you know, to be present means to be both mentally and spiritually present. And so just because they're not there doesn't mean that they aren't ready to take steps closer to Christ on their journey of discipleship. So, I also love that, you know, they called it, they were looking for a partner that they could innovate with. I would say that's definitely true. We're also looking for partners as a technology provider that want to help innovate with us. Another thing is that I reached out to Chris this morning and I was like, Chris, this is great. I've seen the numbers, your generosity, you know, increased. You guys did awesome during COVID. But like, what was the greater kingdom impact, right? Because that's what it's about. It's not just about growing your financial investment that people are willing to make in your church. It's about the greater eternal impact that we can make. And so Chris shared with me that, through this increase in generosity, they're able to feed over 100,000 people, with the Partnership for Kids Coalition Against Hunger. They navigated COVID. I'll show you guys the graph at the end here of what their giving trends looked like even during COVID. And now they're able to enjoy that financial freedom, if you will, to be able to continue to dream big about the impact that they can make in their community. So it really did make a greater kingdom, and eternal impact for their community, which I think is really, really, that's really what it's all about. Okay, so that was a beautiful story. I want to share a few fun facts and tidbits of information to go along with that story. And, you know, another thing that I took away from that story is they were able to meet people where they were at. They talked a lot about the digital app. And so what we're able to deduce from a lot of our customer data is that 70% of gifts are made on a mobile device. Okay? Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't, but it's a pretty big number. People are on their mobile device. That's the right place to reach people. And then in addition to that, about 30% of the people that go to a website, so maybe they go to your church website, they click on a link, it brings them to an online, like a website to donate money to your cause and to your mission. And then from there, 30% of those people turn right back around once they know who you are, once they trust you, and they're going to use that app to continue to make those digital contributions. And then the last stat is that 47% of digital givers 47% more is given by digital gifts than by cash and check gifts, and you get that within the first 12 months. So it's not like 47% more over the lifetime of that generosity. 47% more generosity is realized within the first 12 months of converting from a cash or check giver to a digital giver. Okay. Now, Pushpay has some things that we have in our technology base, some of our features that help drive that. And so I'll share a few of those with you guys. But first I just want to talk a little bit about abandonment rates, which is something that Pushpay is really proud of as well. And, you see that our abandonment rates are 2%. So I have another audience participation question. Who has walked away from a good cause or walked away from something you really wanted to purchase? Because like it was just taking too long, or it was too frustrating, or maybe they didn't have the payment method you wanted to pay with. Like you just walked away. I really wanted it, but I walked away. Right? It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And Pushpay really prides herself in meeting people where they're at, creating an easy to use experience, a fast experience to help meet people in that moment. We live in a society where people want instant gratification, and when they're ready to make a donation, goodness, we want to be ready to accept their donation. Yes. No, no. Which one of these is a car? Do you mean a car or something with two wheels? So we're really proud of that. And it is important. It is important to understand that people don't want to spend 10 minutes or be frustrated when they're ready to be generous. All right. So in the interest of time, my little video snafu, I don't think I'm going to have time to go through each of these, but one of the things that we're really proud of at Pushpay is that we have a proprietary system of giving features, that actually like helps take people in that direction of growing their generosity. And then we also have technology that protects you as the recipient of that generosity, like with things like with assured payments, right? So this one, for an example, is if that processing gateway goes down, we're going to queue up those payments and make sure that you guys still get that donation. Instead of going through each one of these, what I'll say is that overall, PushPay in general, regardless of whether it's our giving solution or our app or our church management system, it is intended to help drive a connection in the community and an engagement. So we're going to continue helping prompt people along the way to be more engaged, to get closer to Christ, to participate in your community. And that's a lot of what those top ones are about, is helping people transition from, you know, cash and check and inviting them to become an online giver, from being an online giver to inviting them to become a recurring giver and things like that. So if you guys want to learn more about how that solution and how EverGift works, you guys can stop by our booth. We've got some people in the back of the room that know all about it as well. I'm happy to answer your questions at the end if we have time. Okay, so I promised I would share what the results were for St. Isidore. And so this is the chart of when they started PushPay and, you know, through COVID. And I think that's just really beautiful that they had created that culture of generosity and digital gifts. And they continue to, like I said, enjoy that financial freedom of having a really, you know, generous culture that they're able to meet their mission of, you know, giving back to their community. All right. Okay, I'm going to leave you with a statement here on this slide that through all of this, through these data points, through these stories, we could posit that greater generosity leads to greater connection and engagement, right? So we're on this journey of discipleship, and we can suppose that greater generosity is going to lead to greater connection and engagement. Okay, we're going to come back to that, so hang on to it, okay? But next we're going to talk about engagement. So we're going to talk about St. Michael's, and St. Michael's has been a customer of ours for quite some time. They started, I believe, on the giving and the donor management side and have transitioned to a ParishStaq customer. They're out in Seattle, and I had a few things written down about them. They were a mission. So they started, they became a church in 1875, but they were a mission for 30 years. So for 30 years, they were a mission church. They became part of the diocese in 1875. And I will let them tell their story. Ah, look at that. It played.
St. Michael Parish began as a mission back in 1845. We became an official parish in 1875 and have had four different churches in our history.
Our vision at St. Michael Parish is to answer the yearning of the human heart, which is to be loved. To know and love God and to be loved by God. And so that really kind of drives our parish. You know, how are we praying together? How are we growing? How are we serving those in need? At St. Michael Parish, we have about 2,300 families. And so in a large parish, one of the challenges is to make sure that people feel at home. About 3 years ago, we started to look at options. You know, how can we really engage people more? And we found ourselves kind of stalled a little bit with the software we had. We were using like 10 different systems to try to manage all this stuff. And so one thing we wanted to do was find one system, one tool that could help us do it all.
When we switched from the old database to ParishStaq, it has really helped us as a parish staff to do many things we could not before. And the more we have used it, the more we've delved into it, the more support that we've received from their team, the more exciting it becomes, because we realize technology is one of those powerful tools that can be used to really advance the mission and the kingdom of God.
One of the things we loved about PushPay is that it didn't just give us tools as administrators, but it gave tools for parishioners to actually engage the parish as well.
Having a happy staff, a staff who's integrated and engaged, is not only important, but it's crucial. To really move any mission forward, to have a healthy team that trusts one another, that's able to really commit to where we're going, is essential. And we've been working at this very intentionally for the last 3 to 5 years. Having tools to assist us in being able to do that is incredibly helpful for us to work well together.
And it has had an impact on how we do ministry and what types of ministry in our time. You know, we want to spend time engaged with our parishioners. We want to spend time calling them and praying for them. And when you don't have a software that allows for this ease, you spend a lot more time in the office and doing things that I would say are less important in some ways than really encountering people and being Christ to them. So, and that's, I think, partly what it's allowed us to do, to spend more of that quality time with those that Jesus gives us.
Very cool. Thanks, another Chris. All right, so St. Michael's took a different approach. They 3 years ago, right, they said they wanted to work on their engagement in their communities. And so through that investment, they were able to get some benefits as well. And so some of the benefits that they were able to see is they increased their engagement of ministry collaboration. Now, ministry collaboration and participation, but what that really means is that they were able to, by using digital tools, invite and secure more people to be volunteers in their ministries. Who has like a really hard time finding volunteers? I mean, the 80-20 rule, right? It's hard. And so by inviting and meeting people digitally and asking them to participate, using Parish Stack, they were able to secure a higher engagement, with ministry. They, like he mentioned in the video, they consolidated 10 different platforms into one tool, and they did also see an increase in generosity. So they started with engagement, but they too also saw an increase in generosity. And I want to talk through how some of these digital engagement tools actually can lead then also to greater generosity. And so I think that's really beautiful. The other thing, like the happy staff thing, I think like that makes me happy. So it's hard work. It's hard work working in ministry. And so to have a staff and a culture where you feel like you can, you know, put your hands in and say, go team, that's pretty neat. That as a product person, a lot of my work is to help not only make the congregant, the parishioner experience enjoyable, but also to make your lives enjoyable as well. And so when I hear stories of people saying like, our staff, like they like to show up to work, like this helps a positive culture. I think that's beautiful as well. Okay. Who went to the National Eucharistic Congress? I want to see my audience. Not too many of us. Okay. I was able to go and participate in the, Congress with PushPay, and it was a beautiful experience. Definitely recommend putting that on your list for the next one that they hold. But while we were there, we ran a competition. We had people fill out a survey. And so we had over 150 people fill out a survey, and we asked them some questions about digital engagement tools. Okay. And so here's just some of the things that we found. And I think it supports this overall story of digital tools that drive engagement. So 84% of parishioners prefer to connect online through social media, through a digital platform. 84%. Okay? That's like almost everybody. That's a lot of people. They want to connect. They want to find you online. Okay? 58% prefer online platforms and digital media to foster community and connection. Now that doesn't mean they don't still want to be present with you. Okay? But it means that they do believe that online platforms and social media can help foster community and connection. Okay, so if you don't have those digital tools, it would be wise to start looking for them. Okay, but we also found, so those are some good numbers, like that supports we should be doing digital. Absolutely. But then 52% of people, they said that technology was a barrier to that connection. Okay? That means we make it really hard for them, right? Like it means that our digital tools aren't easy enough. It means that they're not meeting them where they are. It means they're confusing. It means they're getting lost in the shuffle of the digital tools, the multiple different tools that we're using to, you know, the Sign Up Genius and the SurveyMonkey and the Google Form and the paper form and, right? The pledge card and the, right? They're getting lost in the shuffle. And so I think that that's just, like, that should inspire us. Right? That should inspire us. We can do this, you guys. We can change that number so that it's nothing. Like, technology shouldn't be a barrier to connection. All right. next, no, wrong way. Oh, you know, this, just kidding. Okay, so this is just a really quick demo of our Stack solution, our Parish Stack solution, and this is my profile, my demo profile. But what I want you guys to see is how you can see so much about myself and my family so that as a staff member, you're able to quickly understand who I am, right? And then there's an involvement tab. This tells you what I'm involved in financially, time, treasure, talent. It's all right here. You can see, you know, my family involvement as well. The things that I participate in. And so this all goes back to connection and relating. When you know who somebody is, right, you can offer a more genuine and authentic connection to them, right, when you want them to take that step closer, one more step closer to that relationship with Jesus Christ and towards discipleship. Okay, so I have one more bit of stats to share with you guys. I'm actually doing okay on time. This is something that, so in product management, in my role at PushPay, my job is to understand our customers. My job is to hear your pain points and then bring that back and understand the pain points of the greater group and bring those requirements and changes and improvements into our software. Okay, that's what my job is. And one of the things we do, we talk to customers, that's part of our job, but we also look at data. Okay, we also comb through the data and look for trends and insights that also helps guide the steps that we take. And so one of the things that we've done recently is we have looked through all of our Parish Stack customers, and we have observed that customers that are using Parish Stack tools for schedules and plans, so that's like the volunteer management, so to schedule your church volunteers on Sunday or to schedule your vacation Bible school summer volunteers. So schedules and plans, process queues, so workflows, like here's how you invite a new parishioner, or here's how you run an alpha group, okay, process queue, like a workflow of here's how you do it, and then check-in. So digital tools to, one, help gain trust with people that when they drop off their kids, you know where they are and they're going to get your kid back. Digital tools to help you know who's participating in your groups and events, okay? So if you're using those digital tools of engagement, your churches, you are on average receiving four times more generosity if you are using digital tools to drive engagement, four times more generosity. That's pretty cool, right? Like that, it proves that those digital tools, those 84% of people that want to use digital tools, like if you give them the digital tools to use, they will come and they will be more generous. I think that's just really neat. And so now if you take out any one of those, that number drops down, I think, to two times. Like it doesn't like 3, 2, 1. Like anyone, you already cut that number in half. And if you're just using a digital tool for a database, you don't see any increase in generosity. Okay? So there you go. Come check out Parish Stack. I want to go back to that statement that I made earlier, that greater generosity leads to greater connection and engagement. I still believe that. Like, the data is all still there to prove that. Okay, I still believe that greater generosity leads to a greater connection and engagement, and it takes somebody closer and farther on that discipleship journey. It takes them into action. But I also know that greater connection and engagement leads to greater generosity. Okay, so back to that example of it's a loop. It's a loop as we go deeper and deeper in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay, I think that's where I leave you guys. So, this is just a quick high-level view of what Parish Stack is, all the different features and functions within the Parish Stack suite. The green ones are the giving, and the blue is the CHMS, and our pink purple there is our app and community connection tools. And then this is just a summary of kind of what Parish Stack is. So if you guys want to learn more about Parish Stack, please stop by the booth. I'm not a salesperson, but there's plenty of really smart people in the back to help you dive into those details. And I do think that we have time for questions. So, yeah? When are we done? Oh, all right. We got plenty of time for questions, you guys. Yeah.
If Parish actually just made the decision a couple weeks ago to
Okay.
Does that mean we will have access to all three of those applications?
Correct. Yeah, awesome.
So most of the discussions were around the database. I meant like almost all the discussions were about the database.
Gotcha. So like when you guys were... Yeah, absolutely. Use them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the St. Michael's example, were they the only parish within the diocese that adopted Parish Stack, or did they come on board to where, so I'm getting at the database portion of that and the full data sharing back and forth at the diocesan level to all of the parishes?
Yeah. Perfect. So St. Michael's was actually a PushPay customer well before the Archdiocese decided to be a Parish Stack customer. And so they were enjoying all the benefits of Parish Stack well before the diocese was. And so they've been able to then, now they're a part of that larger ecosystem.
Just a question on St. Isidore. It's very interesting to see how they went on to PushPay before the COVID, mm-hmm. and then through COVID, their giving increased. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? I mean, were they...
Yeah.
So that's like not our overall giving, that's our digital giving. So obviously we weren't allowed to have people at Mass, so we did an online Mass, and we just had Father say, hey, your traditional ways of supporting our parish are no longer as easy. Please consider signing up to PushPay. And people did it, and they did it in droves. And he didn't want to do it, but I explained to him that if you don't do it, we're not going to survive. You know, it was a special time, and thankfully we had a great partner and a great product that backed us during those times.
Mike, you can't ask a question.
I can't. Oh, it was a perfect lead-in from Chris. Sorry. I was just curious if there's a general ledger attached to Parish Stack, or is that separate?
Yeah, that's separate. Actually, Mike, do you want to answer the question? You guys are probably better versed at answering that than I am.
Anthony Welch, are you here?
Yeah, so there's no general ledger that's attached to Parish Stack as a whole. However, we do integrate with a number of general ledger partners. So Sage, Intact Accounting, and then QuickBooks Online would be the two main partners for integrating. But then also we make it easy to export from a reconciliation tab within the donor management portal. So you can just import that into your chart of accounts.
Wow, the long walk.
Sarah, I think I understood you to say that data that's parish data could also be available to the diocese and back and forth. How do you get the buy-in of people, I'm a diocesan official, that don't think the diocese is big brother trying to take all their data?
That's a really great question. And so I think that, remember how I kind of pulled out of some of those stories that finding a good partner and that change is hard, and that you want to have a partner that wants to work through that change management with you. That's a really important key. It's not easy. There are still a lot of parishes across the United States that do kind of think that dioceses can kind of have that big brother perception. They have that perception. It's not true, but they have that perception, right? It's not true. So Parish Stack as a company, our software isn't going to do that for you, right? It's not a magic wand, but I do believe that we are ready to sign up to be your partner and help work through that change management with your parishes. And part of that is trust. Part of that is helping them understand that through our, the diocesan solution, they do still operate independently. And at the end of the day, we all serve the same Lord, we all want to impact the community in the right way. That's part of the change management story. And we're prepared to help you guys, campaign and market that story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Rachel wants to be a part of this.
So I'm from the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois, and we're implementing PushPay
diocesan-wide right now and sharing between the diocese and the parishes. So I just went through all of this. But I think, obviously, you know, we're all working together. We all want to have a holistic view of the Catholics in our region and what their various touch points are, whether that be with their parish, with the diocese, with three parishes in the diocese, with Catholic Charities, to better accompany them. But I think, like, practically speaking, we were able to demonstrate we're already sharing a lot of this information between the diocese and the parishes. So we, if you run an annual appeal, you know, the parishes are sending giving information or contact information as it is. So kind of establishing that baseline of this is already information we share, sacramental information, all of that. And then also just kind of demonstrating the benefit to them. So they were sending us contact information manually for our magazine that we send out every other week. You know, that's continual updates that they're having to send to multiple offices within our diocese, not just one office. We're working on getting aspects of our parish annual statistical report centralized, kind of exportable as part of PushPay. So that's, you know, a lift for them. So I think trying to really articulate the lift that will be made to them and the benefits to the parish, really helps. And then also in terms of offering like an olive branch, like we're not, it's not just the diocese viewing your information. We're willing to share our information also. We want to partner with you on giving and donor stewardship. So offering parishes to see gifts to the diocese also. So it's not just a give take. It's like a sharing. So.
Thanks, Rachel. Don't make her walk.
I'll so this is probably getting
they want to hear it for the recording. You know, that's important. Yeah, the recording needs to hear the question.
This is kind of getting into the weeds, but how, either through the PushPay solution or through how you've implemented it, are you managing change control in that it's real-time data and parish changes address information or giving information for parishioner A? How do you control change to make sure you've got good data back and forth? Or it comes into your parish, to your diocesan office. So you get a pledge card back with a change of address on it. Now you change it.
Yeah. And so to support with that, so we do have custom fields that do get to be defined, but not changed by everybody. Okay. So that's something that the diocese has the opportunity to be able to lean into and take advantage of like, these are the custom fields we will use within our database across the entire, diocese. We also have things like change logs. And so, for example, if you get a pledge card and at the diocese and you're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll change it. We're all in this together. I'll go change the address. You would be able to go in and see, oh, that's strange. Like just last week, the address was, you know, changed to something different, or, oh, somebody already went in and updated it. That I trust that person. It's good. And so permissions are also a thing, right? And so making sure that, one, you're sharing information. So everybody should have access to know that Sarah Anderson exists somewhere in the database. You don't want to hide me, or you're just going to create duplicates of me. And that causes all different problems. But the ability to who can edit my profile, right? Controlling that to the people that should have access to be able to edit my profile. So the parish that I attend, they should have ability to edit my profile. But maybe the parish that I go, when I go visit my parents in a different, you know, 30 miles away, they can see who I am, but they shouldn't be able to go change my address. I don't really belong to them, so to speak. So anybody else want to add to that? It's a great question. Like that's hard. Those are hard things. All right. Any other questions? I'll take one more question, and then maybe we'll do the raffle. Brenda, do you want to come up? Or am I doing the raffle? Am I doing the raffle?
One last quick question. This might be kind of a dumb question and might be for downstairs, but in the example of St. Michael's, the gentleman said we were on, like, up to 10 different platforms mm-hmm. until we came. So could you give us some examples of, like, what platforms was St. Michael on and how did you consolidate that?
So, I mean, you've all worked in ministry for a while, so you can know some of the usual suspects. But you have, like, a ministry scheduler, you have a form builder, you have your parish database, you have the different parish database module because it's not in the regular parish database. So it's like, you know, it's like, oh, we use, like, you know, platform X, but then we're also paying for their, like, you know, the family suite, we're paying for a religious education suite, we're paying for the facilities tool, we're paying for this. So, again, in an ecosystem that helps you consolidate, you can have a facility scheduler, you can have room reservations. If, like, you know, Jonathan wants to use the, like, you know, multimedia room to, like, have a movie night for the men's group, all of that can be managed in one platform because we have calendaring, facilities requests, your forms, all in one. Email communication can be under one platform. So I'd say that's touches on a number right there. But again, depending on how many things you're using, typically we see, I'd say, the average parish, 4 to 7 softwares brought into one.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for coming to our speech. We do have a raffle. Don't leave yet. If you want to, oh, they've got some people that want their ticket in.
Oh
boy,
get
the ticket in.
Say, who wants the AirPods?
Only one entry.
Thank you, Sarah.
I say I can be bribed as well. So,
does the person that gives the standing ovation get the AirPods? Is that? I'm just kidding.
One more ticket.
We're actually giving away more AirPods by visiting our booth downstairs. So if you don't win today.
Oh, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. All right, hold it up high. I want to be able to see who I pick. All right. The lucky winner is Janet McMahone. All right. Congratulations, Janet. Thank you again, everybody, for coming. It was a pleasure to get to be with you for this hour. Enjoy the rest of your conference.